Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me as always, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and organizer. You gotta get your title right. Organizer of your local ferret softball league. It is Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Ferret softball. That's gotta be a challenge. I don't know how they even
They are terrible bats. Like
They're like waiting for the pun.
I misunderstood how
that worked. I don't even know where to go with this. I don't even know. Ferrets occupy space, though. We're going to talk about an occupancy sensor today. No, I don't know.
That's terrible. My gosh. What a transition. That's
terrible. That was a terrible transition. We wouldn't be able to do that again. No. Now, I am excited because we both have the Akar FP2 occupancy sensor, and you did a full review on it, and I'm very curious your thoughts because I've been trying to fiddle around with it, and I can't get it to do what I want. But anyway, we'll get to that. That's going to be the big review for today. We got a couple news, a couple follow-up things. Number one, Wiz. I had not heard of this brand until this article, but Wiz smart lights, they now support Matter, and so you can add them into HomeKit. So if you want to get some Wiz lights, I guess it's by Philips. What are these things? Do you have any Wiz lights? I've never heard of this. I don't know what this is.
I don't, because up until now, they've only supported Siri shortcuts. So Wiz came out only a few years ago, I believe, and it's the budget-friendly line from Signify that makes Philips Hue. So the Philips Hue is the premium lineup, and then you've got Wiz as the affordable lineup. So they're a little shorter on features and some of the stuff like that. And of course, they didn't have like HomeKit certification. But they're very affordable. I think I linked to they start off like $20 for a 3-pack or something.
22
crazy.
For a 3-pack.
Wow. That's what I'm saying. They're very affordable. And now they support HomeKit for the first time, thanks to Matter.
Wow. Okay. You know, I was knocking the Wiz before, but they got this, a fountain LED? You know, one of these like flat against the ceiling lights, and actually changes colors. $41. Interesting. All right, Wiz. All right, I'm listening. Very cool. So that's Wiz. All right, I wanted to do some quick follow-up before we get to our big reviews, because had a Leviton follow-up and a Lutron follow-up. All the L's, all the L words. Number one, Leviton. Somebody from Leviton's listening, Andrew, because they email me whenever I say something like I have an issue with a Leviton. They're like digga 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 digga. Actually, but it was very helpful. So the issue I ran into last time was I had a bunch of updates to Leviton switches, and the Leviton app was not syncing with HomeKit, and so I couldn't see all my switches in one place. Well, I was apparently doing it wrong, because if you sign in with a Leviton account to the Leviton app, then you need to basically set your lights up in the Leviton app, and then it syncs with everything you set up to your Leviton account, which is, it's a little weird, but basically now what I have to do is I have to open the Leviton app, make sure it doesn't scan my face. Otherwise it'll log me into my Leviton account, which is what I don't want to do. You don't want to log into Leviton. What you want to do is you open the app, and at the bottom, it says use with HomeKit only. So this is the Leviton app. Don't sign in. Don't sign up. Don't log in. Don't even think about it. What you want to do is, if you've set up all your Leviton switches by just scanning the HomeKit codes, then you go to the Leviton app and you do use with HomeKit only. And I'm sure I could probably remove my face ID and the app will stop trying to log me in with that. But when you do use with HomeKit only, then you see all your Leviton switches and everything is nicely displayed. Everything that's in your home app is in the Leviton app. And then you can go over to the system updates tab, and then you can update all of your Leviton switches and devices, the scene controller, and it's all right here in the Leviton app. And then I don't see those little download things anymore in the home app. It doesn't tell me you have a firmware update. It doesn't do that anymore. And so if you have any Leviton switches, or if you're wondering how to update it and you didn't see the lights that you knew you've added to HomeKit, that's why. Tap the use with HomeKit only at the bottom. Mystery solved. There you go.
Solved it.
So that's Leviton. Thank you, Leviton. Thank you, whoever's listening. A, don't be creepy, but B, thank you so much for helping me with that. And I really appreciate it. And so now, all my Leviton things are updated, so I don't see the little update download thing. Second, last piece of follow-up. Listener Doug Jacobs tweeted at me because I was talking about the three-way dimming. I had mentioned the Leviton three-way dimming that I finally set up, and it actually works, and it's actually great. I didn't realize Lutron now also has a wired three-way option. These are with, this is not a Pico remote three-way. So before, if you wanted to do a three-way lighting setup with Lutron, you would put in a dimmer or a switch in one location for the three-way circuit, and in the other location, you literally just tie all the cables together, you screw the thing on, and then you put a Pico remote on it. So it's not like, you know, the Pico remote's not hardwired. But Leviton now actually sells a companion switch for a three-way lighting circuit, dimming or non-dimming, so you can get a dimmer switch now, so you can have a hardwired Lutron switch at both locations of a three-way circuit, and it works and it's dim. So if you want that hardwired three-way dimming, you have two options. Now you can use Leviton and you can use Lutron. So thank you, Doug Jacobs. I'll put a link in the show notes for that Lutron dimming three-way companion switch. So I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't know that.
I've gotten so confused with the three-way setups. Like I put like the dimmer in like one spot of mine. I didn't need anything else. And then there's some, like, I know you had a whole host of headaches where things were not
a whole host communicating
properly. And
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just know that I've had several listeners reach out asking about three-way. If you don't care about dimming, you have a lot more options for three-way switches. Like I mentioned before, you can use the Maris switch. You can use, obviously, the Leviton switch. You can use the Wemo switch with thread. All of those support three-way, where you can have a dumb switch on the other side, but no dimming, just a switch. If you want three-way dimming, now you can do Lutron, hardwired, or with a Pico remote, or Leviton. So there you go. I just wanted to close that circuit, so to speak. You like that? You like that pun? Anyway, okay. Before we get to the Acara FP2 occupancy sensor review, because I have questions, I want to thank our one friend we have today, HelloFresh. They didn't tell me to do that. I just felt like it.
You know, I'm shocked that wasn't in the show notes there just to
do that. No, they don't have it. They don't have it. No, this is HelloFresh. This is America's number one meal kit, where you get seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Andrew, you've done HelloFresh before, haven't you? You're familiar with these guys.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with them. And what my favorite thing about them is there's always like those things, like I love cooking in general, but also like when there's like something where you need, like, I don't need a tub of creme fraiche. I need two tablespoons. And yes, it drives me crazy. Like you waste like $5, $3 on a bottle or a tub of creme fraiche. I need just a couple scoops, and right, it's a waste. And it's always like some random ingredient like that. And with HelloFresh, when you get these things like pre-portioned, you're not overpaying for the nonsense you don't need. So
good.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
So good. I just recently got a box. One of the meals was these like pork tacos. Delicious. But again, I mentioned this before, I did the cooking. Well, actually, my wife did the cooking with my kids. They all did like a little cooking class. And the HelloFresh is very nicely designed little pictures to show you every step of the recipe and the process. And so my kids were able to join in and do it. And it tasted amazing. It was really great. So listen, HelloFresh does more than just delicious dinners, by the way. Not only can you take your pick from 40 weekly recipes, but you can choose from over 100 items to round out your order, from snacks and easy lunches to desserts and pantry necessities. Everything arrives in one box on a delivery date you choose. They're Johnny on the spot too. They're a HelloFresh on the spot when they're that delivery. And listen, save time from, don't scour the grocery store. Listen, I've been to the grocery stores. It's a madhouse out there. It's crazy. Don't look for that. You don't have to go to the grocery store just for that one ingredient for your recipe. HelloFresh takes all that hassle away by delivering fresh, pre-portioned ingredients so you have exactly what you need. Helps you cut down on food waste too. And if you order meals for like 2 and 4, but you only need like food for yourself, you got leftovers. You got lunch the next day, you got dinner the next day. It's so good. And HelloFresh cares about quality. That's why their seasonal ingredients are picked at peak ripeness, and travel from the farm to your home in less than 7 days. Some of it might even be coming from Andrew's farm. I don't even know. I know he grows stuff over there. HelloFresh is over there. No, never mind. I'm not saying they're taking from your garden. No, just kidding. HelloFresh got their own gardens. But anyway, HelloFresh, it's a wonderful. You should try it. Go to HelloFresh.com/HomeKit16. And use promo code HOMEKIT16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. 16 free meals plus free shipping. I think I'm going to do this for my mom, actually, right after we're done recording. I'm going to send her a box. Anyways, HelloFresh.com/HomeKit16, promo code HomeKit16 for 16 free meals, and it's America's number one meal kit, so try HelloFresh. That link is in the show notes as well. Thank you, HelloFresh. Should be fun. All right. Now, not only is HelloFresh occupying my pantry,
oh boy,
so is the Acara FP2. I'm not struggling to do the transitions. I don't know how to do it. Listen, you reviewed the Acara FP2 presence sensor, and I have questions. I have questions because I've been struggling with mine. So I want to know, what did you think about this thing? How did it go?
Okay. I was nervous after your last, I don't know, tirade, whatever you want to call it, on...
I was struggling.
The FP2.
Yeah.
And I, by and large, did not have the same issues.
Okay.
So I set it up initially, I don't know how you set yours up initially, but initially just straight up in HomeKit mode, and yeah. I like threw it in the kitchen, and I just tied it to our pantry lights, which is some custom wired Hue lights that I had set up.
Okay.
And okay. I just had it set like the most basic of things, right? You walk basic. Into the room, turns on, occupancy is not detected, it turns off.
Sure.
And sure. That's worked perfectly. Like literally I would walk in the kitchen and I see the pantry light up. I walk away and the pantry turns off.
Okay.
100% of the time, it was super fast. It was really responsive. No issues at all. I will say I had maybe a little bit of an issue when I moved it into our master bathroom to test. I don't know if like the mirrors were playing funny business, but I wanted to test if house. You could hop behind the shower curtain and it would still detect you. And it did work. A normal shower curtain could not confuse the sensor. So if you're in the shower, it will not think you vacated the room and turn the lights off on you. So that's good. But yeah, I didn't have most any of those issues, I don't think. There were a couple times, like the funniest situation was when I had it paired to like the Acara app and the Home app at the same time, because there are like additional settings in there where you can change like the sensitivity and the zones and the fall detection and all of that.
Yeah.
But right. Because I had similar issues, right, with the Acara G4 doorbell, which the review's also live for that we had talked about, so that's linked down below. If you want to read the full text review and see photos of that. But I had that mismatch where I had it set up in Acara and in the Home app, and then I tried to filter the recordings in the Home app to, like, only record when there's people. And it decided there was never any people ever and didn't record anything. And I set it back to record all recordings, and it worked flawlessly. But there, when I had reached out to Acara, they said, like, okay, there could be some sort of, like, one of the, like, they're not talking together or identifying, like, people correctly or whatever object it was, so that was causing it just to never trigger recordings. But, yeah, since then, no problems with that, and I feel like there may be some sort of communication going on similarly with the FP2. But yeah, especially straight through HomeKit, this thing is great. It's the fastest, most accurate motion sensor I've tried.
Okay, so number one, I watched Shane Wadley, who's been on the show. He's been a guest on the show before. He has this video, and he has this amazing setup. Excuse me, one second. Sorry, had to cough. Present sensor did. I don't know if it saw the cough. He set this thing up in his studio. And he had set it up in such a way that he could sit in a chair at this part of the room and the light turns on right next to the chair. He gets up and walks to the other side of the room. That light turns off. And when he sits down in another chair, that another light turns on. I said, yes. That's amazing. First of all, and number two, why can't I get it to do that? So what's interesting is you go into the Acara app. And I did not play with this before the last episode. This is kind of a new development. When you set up the presence sensor, let me lower the brightness on my phone. Yeah, you should go to youtube.com.
This is in the review, by the way, for anyone interested. Yeah. These blocking sections.
So this is the Acara app. And what you can do is you basically build your room. Like you can even add furniture. So, you know, everything is spaced correctly. Now, I had the occupancy sensor do an automatic programming. I said, you know, just try to figure out my room. Tell me what you see. And so this is what it saw. And well, number one, it thinks there's two people in here right now, which is a little creepy. I really hope I'm the only one in this room because I don't see anyone else. So it thinks there's two people in this room. But it does block off many blocks. I'm going to hold it even closer to the camera. It says interference a source. And there's a lot of interference directly around it. And what I read in a couple of Reddit posts and from other listeners who have gotten the occupancy sensor and are struggling with it, ceiling fans might cause it to malfunction, or ceiling fans cause interference. And my ceiling fan is not even on right now, but even when it's off, for some reason, I don't know what it is, it's causing some kind of interference. So that's number one, possibly ceiling fans are an issue. Number two, I have it here in my studio on my desk, and there is a lot of electronic equipment around it. And when you look at the Acara app and all the the Lux sensor. When you look at this graph, it shows a ton of gray blocks right in front of it saying interference. And so I have to imagine that something about all the tech I have surrounding this thing is throwing it off. And I'm going to move it to another room and try it for next week's episode. I was trying my best to get it to work here in the studio because that's where I wanted it. I wanted it where I sit down in the chair and like everything turns on. And when I leave the room, everything turns off. But I think there's for some reason, just too much interference. And I think also watching Shane's video, he has it mounted on like a pole on like, right against the wall, a far wall. There's nothing really around it. It's elevated, which Acara does recommend you mount it like 5 or 6 feet from the ground. And of course, you can even mount it on the ceiling, and that's how they do fall detection. So I'm gonna move it to a wall, maybe in the bedroom, mount it up a little higher and see how it performs. But for some reason, the interference and whatever else I got going on in this room and this phantom person, they're moving around. This person's moving around the room. I don't know what's happening. It shows two people in here, and it's a little weird. But so for some reason, I think all that interference is causing an issue. I did finally get it to respond sometimes with turning on. I did come in the studio one time and it turned my lights and stuff on, which was cool. I couldn't get it to turn off. And I think it's because it's sensing a person in the room through this interference. The other weirdness thing was, like, you can set it up these multiple zones in the same room. So you can set up, you know, here's the sofa in the room, here's the lazy boy in the room, the chair, here's another place where I might go. And then you program it. And in the home app, once you sync from the Acara app to the home app, all these names, you'll actually get multiple quote unquote occupancy sensors in the room in the home app. And so you'll see I have space here. That was one of the areas I named in the Acara app. And then this other occupancy sensor, which is currently triggered. And so supposedly you should be able to mark the specific areas of the room, call it different things. And then the home app will actually see those as individual triggerable sensors. Does that sound right to you? Did you have that experience?
Yes, you can create up to 5 of these virtual sensors for right. Each of the FP2s. So in one room, you can basically create 5 different motion sensors. So like in our living room, I can set it to like if we sit on the couch or in the chair, it'll turn on the TV and all that. If it detects motion by the front door, which is still the same room, it could turn on the porch lights or something like that.
Right.
If you sat in like the reading chair, maybe it turns on the lamp next to you. But yeah, you basically just kind of like highlight the little cubes on there where you want it to be one section, and that creates a virtual sensor, and you can do up to 5
right.
for each one of these things.
So I have a feeling it's the room. And so you have to keep this in mind. If you're going to get one of these, you know, it's not inexpensive. I think this thing is around $80 on Amazon.
Yeah, it's expensive.
And so it's much more expensive than just a regular motion sensor. And so I would think about your use case before you jump on one of these and see if it's going to work. Of course, you know, you're on Amazon, you can return it pretty easily. But I would also keep in mind the room, the interference. I think just this room with too much tech is not working. So I will try it in a different room with a ceiling fan and without a ceiling fan and see if it responds any better. But that's just been my experience. Again, I've seen it work incredibly. you know, your interview, you have it separated in the rooms. I've seen other interview reviews, and it's like, you can literally like move 2 feet over and you can trigger a new thing because it knows exactly where you are in the room. So it looks like it's capable of awesome stuff. There's also been firmware updates that have been coming. So I think Akara is trying to like fix the bugs as we go. But yeah, I don't know. That's just been my experience with it. It's cool promise.
I tried it in one room with a ceiling fan. I tried in the living room and I didn't seem to have any issues there. And I tried it in the kitchen, the dining room. And the only room that I had any issues was the bathroom, which I think was just the mirror. But with proper positioning, I got that to work as well.
Okay.
But yeah, it's crazy just like, I don't know how your experience has been with like regular motion sensors, but I get so annoyed when they just turn off on you. Like I can never use the stops detecting motion thing on a motion sensor.
Oh yeah.
Cause it never works. Never works. Or does it just really quick. So now like I would end up reverting to like, after like 5 minutes, turn off, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then there's those times where you're longer and then it doesn't do that. Then it's like you needed it on, but then it won't detect new motion. And then you're like, now I just have to use Siri or the Home app. It can be a pain. This thing works so well with actually detecting and stop detecting occupancy.
Well, I'm still excited for the promise. And again, I've seen this particular device working incredibly well in different videos. So I'm going to try it again. I'm going to mount it up higher, put it in different rooms, see how it works. Again, I love the promise of this, especially, man, if you could program it where you sit down on the sofa and like you were saying, the TV turns on and like your Hue lights turn on, the you know, the Hue sync, whatever, like that'd be amazing. A side note, Philips Hue, you had shortcut steps for the sync box when you had the separate app. And since you've brought it, I'm going to complain about this until they fix it. I have to go into the Hue app just to trigger the sync lights. Add the shortcut step back. You already had it. Sorry, anyway, I was just a little annoyed by that. But anyway, I'm excited for the promise of this thing. I would be very curious if listeners out there have had their experiences. Again, I heard from people with ceiling fans, stuff like that. But if you have this thing working like spot on, like to a T, you can like, you know, throw, you know, I don't know, move 2 inches over and you have it triggering automations. I would love to know and the secret to it and what you did for it. But yeah, I'm excited for the promise. You can read Andrew's full review. We'll put that link in the show notes. And now you also have a review of the Akara G4. It is now up, which we've talked about before, but you got your full deal on. You like it?
Yeah, nothing to really add. Just wanted to make sure because it just went live this week. So in text form, video was up. So accompanying text, more photos, all sorts of things in there to check out if you've been on the fence about the G4 at all.
And I have to say, like, you know, some every once in a while, someone will leave a review in Apple Podcasts, and they're like, why don't you guys talk about any other brand? You know, they're talking about Eve and Akara. And listen, I've got to say, Akara has been killing it on device releases. Like, they've just had a ton of new stuff, and they're really good at, like, sending it out to us so we can review it and test it. And so, you know, these other brands, just get on the ball. I mean, what's the deal? What you doing? That's all I'm saying.
Hey, we've just been talking about Switchbot a bunch recently. You just went through Lutron and Leviton again.
That's true.
I'm about
to
dive into some Nanoleaf conundrums here. So we tried. There's not a ton of huge HomeKit-specific brands, at least that are regularly releasing new things. I feel like right now is that middle time between the whole Matter situation. So no one's like doing a ton.
I mean, you want us to talk about the Casa smart plug again? I don't think so. I don't think you want us to do that. But maybe you want to hear Andrew rant about Matter a little bit, which I'm down for. I want to hear what you got to say about Matter. What's the matter?
Okay. Okay, Steven.
Trying to do that Leo DiCaprio gif where he's like, anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Try to keep me on point and for this to make sense. Because I don't fully understand what's going on. So to try to explain it succinctly is going to be also a challenge. But this week, I was really diving in to some Matter tech. There's some things I want to test out and try. And I want to do like an article about, you know, using Matter accessories with HomeKit and how everything kind of really works together, what the differences are. And I learned new things. So my first step was a few Eve devices. So these have been rock solid, reliable for ages. like the EVA Energy that has been like the most recent generation with Red. That was one of the first products they migrated over to Matter. So I migrate the device over, you do it through the EVAP, and we talked about this a little bit where it's kind of wonky, where it's like, oh, you get a new Matter pairing code, save that pairing code, and then you essentially, like, it kind of re-adds it more or less to HomeKit in that progress of migrating to Matter. So we do that. They're even able to like migrate all of your like historical data on like energy consumption stuff. A pretty nice process, especially compared to what I ended up with. But unfortunately, once it switched over to Matter, it never responded again. It doesn't show in the, it shows in the home app, but just is no response. And I've tried everything that you can think of. I have restarted the device, unplugged it, plugged it back in. I've tried like toggling the light on just to kind of wake it up. Didn't do anything. I've tried to factory reset the device, remove from the home app, re-add it again using the HomeKit pairing code, all of that to no avail. No. That device is still unusable in my home. So then I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to try another Matter device because I really want to be able to talk about some Matter stuff and how this is going to work. So I go and I try the NanoLeaf light strip, the Essentials Matter light strip. So I plug it in. Everything's going well. It goes through the entire HomeKit pairing process, smooth as can be, boom, boom, boom. In the home app. Cool. This is a brand new device. Didn't migrate anything. Brand new device. And like, I'm going to use this to light up the dresser in Harrison's bedroom. Just a nice little lighting effect behind the dresser. So I get it added to the home app and no response. As soon as it goes through the pairing process, it is inoperable. Again, go through everything, try to remove it, try to re-add, blah, blah, blah. So I go into the NanoLeaf app. This is where things get murky, Steven. I go in the NanoLeaf app.
Murky.
And I see the light. And I can control it through the NanoLeaf app. So I can control through NanoLeaf, but not through the home app.
Right.
Why? I don't know. And then I see that it's got like, it says there's a firmware update. A firmware update. Like, okay. So like I go through like the firmware update process. Going like from like 3.2 to 3.5, something like that. And I'm thinking maybe this will fix all my woes. All of my woes will be gone. No, I will be woeless, and
woeless.
somehow, in this, I somehow inadvertently ended up with two dressers in the NanoLeaf app. I think it was because it said you've added this directly to the home app. That's why it's here. But if you add it to Matter, which it should already be Matter. You can add it here and it'll pair it complete, or it'll pair it with a NanoLeaf app, which unlocks more features. I'm like, okay, more features sounds good. Let's add this to the NanoLeaf app. So I go through that where it wants me to scan again the Matter pairing code. So I scan the Matter pairing code and it goes through the process. It doesn't go through the HomeKit process, but through like the NanoLeaf process. And now I have two dressers. Both in the NanoLeaf app. So I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. So I remove the initial one, which also removed it from the home app, because that was your HomeKit one, right? So now I just have the Matter one that's paired to the NanoLeaf app. And I go to the home app, and like the other dresser is not there. I'm like, why isn't the other dresser there? It's paired with Matter. It should show up. Going with all my other accessories inside of the NanoLeaf app, everything should be together. So I'm confused. So I'm like, whatever. So I hit the plus button in the home app, and it's like, do you want to add this light? And it's like, it discovered it. I'm like, okay, I guess this is discoverable. So like, sure, I go through it, and now I re-add it to the home app. And as of now, that's working.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now I can control that light through the home app. Through the NanoLeaf app.
Nope.
And it's Matter.
Nope.
So that's where that one is. I have no idea what happened where. But here's the frustrating thing, Steven.
Yeah.
All of that is just in the HomeKit space, right? after that, and that was literally just stock, like stock out of the box. I have a light, works with Matter. I want to add to the home app. Boom. No, did not work like that and super confusing. So then the next thing I want to try was I've got the new Samsung SmartThings station, which super great product. Like it's included charger in the box, or not charger, but power adapter in the box. It's all USB-C, nice and small and compact. And they made the top of it a 15-watt wireless charger. So you can set this on your desk and use it as a charger. Like, you have a hub in your house. No, I have a wireless charger on my desk. It doesn't seem like it's something funky. I just like that it has, like, that double utility. So it's not nearly as just kind of asinine as just stick another hub in a stack under your desk that's going to interfere with your FP2. But this is a Matter-enabled hub. Right. I want to... So my first thought, Stephen, like, when you're talking about different ecosystems, right... I kind of thought in my head that I could add, like, the SmartThings hub, just add that into the home app, and then anything connected to SmartThings would show in the home app, and then other things that were, you know, controllers inside of the SmartThings would be able to control any Matter accessories that I had in an Apple Home. No. I don't think, at least, unless somebody sends in an email and tells me that I'm wrong. But instead, you have to add each accessory to both platforms. So I have to add everything to Home and add it to SmartThings. So they don't cross-talk at all. And I've heard issues like with these thread networks fighting with each other, but that's a whole other problem. So I try to add, like, the NanoLeaf and the Eve to the SmartThings station, but it kept failing. Right. And then I found out you actually have to go into the Home app, and then you can go into an accessory detail, and at the bottom there's a little button that says turn on pairing, and you can turn this on to pair it with another platform, which only works, Stephen, if your accessories are responding. So things like the Eve that was unresponsive didn't get anywhere with, but I thought it would work with a NanoLeaf light. And it kept saying, like, you had to unplug it and plug it back in. This is the NanoLeaf apps. And you had to unplug and plug it back in because pairing is only active for the first 15 minutes. So you have to do that to activate pairing. And that didn't work. I tried enabling pairing inside of the Home app with that button, and that didn't work. I try to add it to the SmartThings hub or the SmartThings station. It's halfway through, lets me assign things, and then it just fails on, like, the last... you know, locking things in place step. So I've yet to be able to pair an accessory with both Home and SmartThings station or competing platform. And it's just rough. Like, I want to be able to like it. I want to be able to use this. Yeah. And this is the current state for launch. And, like, I'm confused. I don't know how you feel listening to what I'm saying, or our audience sounds like. But that just, it's daunting trying to figure this all out. And I don't even know at this point what the problem is. I still don't know. So I reached out to some smart people that know more in the Matter space that I'm hopeful that can get things pointed in the right direction. But there's things going on, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Apple Home, if it's NanoLeaf, if it's the SmartThings station, the Thread networks. I don't know. But something is not working right now. And I've got a lot of no response things right now.
See, I've been scared to do any of the Matter updates in Eve for this reason. Like, everything's working right now. I don't want to touch anything. Like, I don't want to Matter to touch any of my devices, even though they've been upgraded to it. Like, and again, if you're all in on the HomeKit ecosystem like I am, there's really no benefit to adding Matter support for a device that's already in the Home app. Started using Thread like Eve devices do. So I'm like, I'm not touching Matter. But I will say the one device that I have added via Matter, which is the SwitchBot Hub 2, which, you know, the promise was that you can bring devices into the Home app through Matter, the SwitchBot stuff. It worked, and then it didn't work. And now I was just in the SwitchBot app, and there's a bunch of, like, firmware updates for all the SwitchBot devices, including the Hub 2. There's, like, a version 2.0 for the blind tilt thing. So I'm going to try that and see, but I've been
Hub
not enthused about the Matter
responsive in HomeKit right now.
let me see. I see the blinds right. It is in the home app. Like, I see the Hub 2, I think. I don't even know where to look for it. I see it in the home settings, hubs, like it's there. So, yes, maybe.
I just wonder if it's responding.
I don't know. I mean, it's here. There's the SwitchBot hub. It says there's three accessories connected to it.
Are the accessories reachable?
So, yes. That's good. But again, this was the weird, but the blinds didn't have the right, like the proper close up, close down, you know, it was kind of just one or the other. So anyway, I don't know. I literally just updated the firmware on the hub and the blinds as you were talking, because I was trying to see, is Matter going to work again? And I'll do a follow-up next week and see if it's working. But I don't know, man. Yeah, the promise of Matter, it's still a little far off. I don't think we're there yet.
I mean, I want to try like both platforms and see how they were working together. We already have a lot of smart thing stuff in our house, like all of our televisions, like I have a monitor, sure. We've got the washer and dryer, the fridge, all this stuff is under smart things. So I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? And can I bring, obviously, like things like the washer and dryer and fridge are not supported in Matter yet. But when they do, something I won't be able to do. And your smart things fridge.
Yeah.
Is able to act as a controller and control things. So I'm like, okay, cool. So let's try and get this light added, and then all of a sudden I can control, you know, these lights from the fridge. Like, just another option. So
that'd be nice.
I was excited for that, but now, now we're in this conundrum.
The dark days of Matter. It's the dark ages. We had the promise of Matter. Now it's the dark ages of Matter. Anyway, listeners, let us know if you have some Matter devices and you just love it and they're just working great. Let us know. Or if you have an Akar F2 presence sensor and you got that working, I'd love to know about that, how you set that up and the process there. But let us know. You can contact Andrew and I. Our information is in the show notes. Check out HelloFresh. That link is also there. And let us know what projects you got going on, what questions. We'd love to answer your questions, especially during this season before WWDC. It's a little bit of a lull. So I would love to hear from you guys what you got going on. But thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time.
See you, everyone.